Always a pleasure and an opportunity and a privilege to preach the gospel in the church if the opportunity comes. And I guess when you're an octogenarian, you get to the place when you never know whether it's the last message you preach. And I wonder sometimes, the Lord has blessed me greatly, and I just wonder sometimes how long I'll be able to. I think tonight about a couple things. First of all, Doug and Sarah have an anniversary on Friday. And we all know that Doug is just praying that Sarah will renew his contract for another year. He's been on his best behavior. And of course, we know that our church is going to grow because Pete and Ruth are with child. I don't know, but the rumor has it that Pete said if it's a boy, they're going to call him Repeat. I don't know whether they've picked out a name for the girl yet, but Cameron wants a girl. Last Wednesday night of the year, 2021 is almost here. 2020 will soon be nothing more than pages in a history book. I'm sure that for some of us, that can't come soon enough. For others, they had a pretty good year, not a bad year. We've got two types of people here in the auditorium tonight. Since we've got the kids up here from downstairs, there are those who are not aging fast enough, and that would be our younger people. They're wanting to get older. I can remember as a young fella, I couldn't wait till I could turn 16 and get a driver's license. Some of you remember those days. You just counted the minutes until you could get old enough to get that driver's license. Now, I lived in the country, so I had four automobiles before I ever got my driver's license. Back in Guernsey County in the 50s, there were only about three paved roads in the county, and the dirt roads, you never saw any type of a police officer on those. So we drove all over the country as long as we stayed on the dirt. I can remember those days. And then we've got the other class of people in the auditorium. And that would be those of us who are aging too fast. We get old too soon and smart too late, it seems like. 2021 stands before us. We don't know what we have before us. We can't change 2020 regardless of how many statues we tear down or how many pages we tear out of the history books. 2020 is there, and we can't change it, but we need to learn by it. There were lessons that we were taught this year that we need to put to heart and put to use and use. We never learn enough, it seems like. Now, we can't alter 2020. It's done. It's set in concrete. But we can plan for a different and possibly more successful 2021. That's ahead of us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Paul wrote this as he looked forward to the end of his life, where he was going to give his life for the cause of Christ. And 2021 for us is a great and an open door for you and I as Christians. Our goal should be to be as effectual for Christ and His church as we can be in 2021. But that big three-letter word, as the Apostle Paul writes, there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries ahead of us that will try to hinder us in our work for God in the coming year. I don't know what the year holds. I don't know whether I will be able to stand in a pulpit at the end of next year. I don't know whether I'll be even standing, and neither do you. But I know that it's a new year. And I think of the adversaries that we have. Probably the one adversary that troubles us most is this flesh that we walk around in. This flesh can never be pleased. It's either too hot or it's too cold. It's too wet or it's too dry. It's hungry or it's not hungry enough. There's always something that the flesh wants, and it'll drive us crazy if we try to please it. It can keep you busy as a termite in a yo-yo just trying to keep your flesh happy and just trying to keep it in check. But you and I as Christians are challenged to keep our flesh in check. We are to rule over our flesh. The second thing we see that's an adversary for all of us is the world that we live in. Everything we see in this world outside of the church house wants to tempt us to sin. You see the advertisements on the television set, and it's all about prosperity, about getting more money, about being better at this and better at that, winning more, losing less. And everything has a road in it, and the road leads to a sinful pasture field. That's the world we live in. The world doesn't see things that we see inside this church wall. But our greatest adversary is the devil. He wants us to be less effective than we were in 2020. He wants to stop us, or at best, he wants to hinder us from doing anything to serve God. He wants to ruin our testimony. He wants to keep us from leading others to Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy us as a Christian. That's his goal. Mark it down. He's pretty hard to spot, though. He can sometimes come like a roaring lion. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light. He wants to hinder us because we are the channels, and I'm glad that we sang that song tonight, Channels Only. We are the channels that God has chosen to win a world to Christ. What a poor choice we are, but we're God's choice. God has chosen us to spread the gospel story and point others to Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are to work and walk with God and further the kingdom of God. That's God's choice. Well, how does the devil work? I think most of us have a lot of ideas about how the devil works. Most of us have not got enough victory over the flesh yet to worry about the devil. The devil doesn't worry much about us. Our flesh pretty well takes care of that. But we see in the Bible how the devil works. First of all, in Isaiah 14, chapter 14 and verse 12, we see that the devil wants to be like God, and he tries to be like God. And this is what he says in Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer means light bearer. You only see that word in the King James Bible. That's the only place that you see the name Lucifer for Satan. But that was his name as an angel, as an archangel. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst thou weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You think the devil's not determined? Five times in that passage of Scripture, he says, I will. He has made up his mind what he wants to do. He wants to be like the Most High. Now, he's got a lot of things that he does to try to be like God. He can be like an angel of light. In fact, if the devil were to walk in this service tonight, he would have so much charisma that we'd ask him to open in prayer. He can be like an angel of light. He can be like a roaring lion. He works any way that he can to be like God. He is the world's greatest counterfeiter. The devil is an imitator. But, that three-letter word again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, we are not ignorant of his devices. You say, well, I don't know everything that the devil does. I don't recognize him all the time. But we are not ignorant of his devices. What does that mean? It means that we do not know all of them. He's got more than we'll ever know. But we know that he has them. And we know that since he has them, we better keep our eyes open and watch. And we need to try everything that comes up according to the Scriptures. Compare it to what God says. The devil will have the best counterfeits available of God and his work. He will counterfeit big things. The devil doesn't counterfeit nickels and dimes. Besides, the government already does that. They've already got the market on that. He counterfeits the big things. He won't bother with imitation Christians because the world's already full of them. He doesn't have to counterfeit Christians. The world is full of them because the flesh and the temptations that surround us drag us down and give the devil time to concentrate on the people that are sold out to God. And he has some first-class imitations. I want to look at those tonight for a while. First of all, the devil has an imitation gospel with an imitation conversion experience, including mock peace and mock security. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There is another gospel. The devil has another gospel. The devil's gospel preys on the emotions. Many times we'll see somebody come to an altar and they'll pray and they'll cry and they'll shed tears. I've been many a funeral. I've done probably in the years that I've been in the ministry, I would guess probably someplace between 50 and 75 funerals. And God is my witness, I have tried every time to present a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them how to be saved. And I have people at funerals that I have seen shed tears big as goose eggs. And they're going to turn their lives around and they're going to get their hearts right and they're going to serve God. And they walk out the door and walk into a bar and take up where they left off. They had an emotional experience. I talked to one fellow one time. And I asked him if he was saved. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, I've been saved. He said, I was in the Korean War, and a shell come lobbing over the hill and landed on my buddy next to me, and I never got a scratch. The Lord saved me. He was talking about a different type of salvation than the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. The devil's salvation preys on the emotions. Many tears, a lot of feelings. A lot of time, the devil's salvation can involve rituals. Someone or something else will do it for you. My parents, before they got saved, were Lutherans. The secret side was Lutherans. The Matthew side were Presbyterians. And as any good Lutheran or any good Presbyterian would do when a baby is born, they come to church and have that baby sprinkled. I was baptized, my mother told me, when I was about 2 weeks old. And supposedly that baptism was supposed to protect me throughout all my life and supposed to take me to heaven. As long as I became a member of that church, as long as I stayed in that fellowship of that church, that baptism as a baby that I didn't know anything about, I probably cried because it got me wet, that was supposed to protect me. I didn't have to do anything. A lot of people depend on the time that they took their first communion. They walked up to the front of the church at age 12 and they were blessed and they became a member of that congregation. And that first communion was supposed to save them, get them a home in heaven. Grace saves. Grace plus baptism is the devil's tool. Grace plus church membership is the devil's tool. Grace plus good works is the devil's tool. Second, blessings plus grace are the devil's tool. God doesn't add anything to grace. The devil always does. And there are people that run around this world today, and you'll meet them, and probably already have, that will tell you they were okay because of one of those things that happened to them years ago before they never even knew it. As long as the experience is there, the life they lead is not important. And they have a false sense of security. And on their deathbed, they cling to some promise that a priest made that if they give their money to a church, they're going to be okay. They don't need to read the Bible because their priest will tell them, you can't understand it anyhow. I'll read it for you and I'll take care of your salvation. Nobody can take care of your salvation but you. Security of the believer is not a license to sin. When you have a false security, you always wonder, am I doing enough? Have I done enough to earn my way to heaven? Well, the answer is no, you haven't, and you can't. Simple answer, very simple. But the devil will tell them that they're doing fine. I think maybe if you're weighed in the balance, you'll be okay. We learn through the pages of the Scripture that security is not a license to sin. Christians that sin, God chastens. Christians that sin, sometimes God takes home early. Security is not a license to sin. One of the devil's biggest tricks is to run his people to exhaustion doing Christian church work. We get all tied up in church work, quote, unquote. And the devil overlooks the sins of impatience and temper and the lack of Christian love while his people feed the poor, make sure that they're well housed, make sure that they've got good clothes to wear, And they failed to tell them if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to die and split hell wide open. They're going to be well fed and a pocket full of money and good clothes when they bury him, but lost and on their way to hell. He will reward them for being the fastest, for doing the most, for being the best, building the biggest. I don't know whether you look at Yahoo News on the computer or not, but I do. And I run across a picture the other day. And it was a picture of Joe Osteen's complex house. How many of you saw that? I know some of you did. I looked at that, and there's this huge, huge, huge white house with wings off of each side. And there's this building and this building and this building and this building, about 14 or 15 different buildings off the side of this, and a big patio out in the back and a swimming pool and a tennis court and everything like that. And he's suffering for Jesus' sake. I thought to myself, well, the devil's really paid him off. True salvation always involves repentance. The Bible says that we have to repent from our sin. We have to turn from our wicked ways and turn to Jesus. The devil's salvation involves no repentance. The devil's salvation is a get-rich-quick scheme. So he will always propagate an imitation gospel. The devil also has an imitation Jesus. We know the Jesus of the Bible. We're familiar with that Jesus. This church teaches that Jesus. The devil has no problem with the name of Jesus. Has no problem whatsoever. He'll paint the name of Jesus everywhere. And he'll use that name to try to unite everybody. He'll unite the apostolics and the charismatics and the evangelicals and the liberals and the capitalists and the communists and anybody else that wants to join in. They can all come under that banner, the Jesus banner. He has no problem in the world without. But what he does do, he will denounce anybody else that doesn't come under that banner as a hater. Anyone who will come out from among them, and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, is a hater. And that's the way the devil labels those. Because they don't measure up to what his Jesus is. His Jesus has a different type of music. The devil's Jesus has a music that combines hillbilly music and southern gospel and rock music and calls it contemporary or praise music. They dress like the world to sing it. Every so often I'll run across somebody that's on there quite frequently, and I'll listen to some of the songs that they sing. And I'll listen to some good old gospel songs that we sing in church here, but by all the theatrics and the everything that goes along with it, it just makes you sick at your stomach to listen to the music. And I have to turn it off. Yet they're accepted. That's the devil's music. They dress like the world to sing it. In order to perform it, and that's what they do, that you got to have ants in your pants. You got to jump up and down and have St. Vitus dance and do everything else. That's the devil's music. He has football players that make touchdowns on Sunday and brag about Jesus on Monday, sponsored by beer and wine. That's the devil's Jesus. He never once mentions that Jesus was coming again on a white horse, treading the winepress of the wrath of God. And he would promote that another Jesus that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That other Jesus has been in the world for a long time, and the devil's promoted him. But he has one last invitation, and it's a great one. The devil has an imitation Bible. We have our King James Bible, the preserved, inspired Word of God. The devil has an imitation for that. Not just an imitation, he's got dozens of them. He's got as many as you want. You can buy a new one every week if you want to. He produces them, and he will call them clearer. He will call them more accurate. He will call them easier to understand. He will take out words, and he will change words. He will do things like change the word virgin to young maiden or young woman. He will leave out the blood. He will leave out the cross, and he will leave out hell and leave all the things that Jesus talked about out. And he will be very subtle in the way that he corrects God's book, the King James Bible. He will say it's so archaic. It's so out of date. It's so hard to understand. The language is so passé. You need to keep up with the times, and you need to get something you can understand. But he will never admit what the King James Bible has done. 1611, we got our Bible. They've changed the Old English to modern English. Not the English that we have that's loaded with slang, but Elizabethan English. And the sun never set on the British Empire until the 1880s, when the Revised Standard Version was published in England. And the sun of the British Empire began to set. And now it's a nation that we send missionaries to, not a nation that sends out missionaries. And all because they got away from the King James Bible. The devil will never tell you how the USA became the strongest nation in the world because of the King James Bible. They'll never tell you that. Translated into over 700 languages and dialects, it's the Bible that people are saved by. You can get saved by another version of the Bible. I'm not saying you can't. But you'll never grow like you need to grow without the King James Bible. The Bible is the Bible that I trusted Christ by. The Bible, the King James Bible, is the Bible that you trusted Christ by. The devil will get the people so confused about what God said and so smart that they need to, they pick up their Bible and they say, well, I don't think God meant that. He meant this. And they're smarter than God anymore. They know more than God knows. They're self-satisfied. They're lukewarm and prosperous. Just like the Laodicean church. That church was rich and had need of nothing. But they were sickly and they were lukewarm. And we have that church today. A church today that's cut their teeth on a television set. They're safe, they're secure, they're comfortable, they're increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the age that we're in today. You and I as Bible believers need to resist that age. That's where we are right now. That's why it's so important in 2021 that you and I, as Bible believers, need to watch and to pray and to read and to study and to witness and to win and work as we wait and watch for the Lord's return. It's around the corner. It could be today. And I ask you the question, what are you going to do for God in 2021? We have an open door in front of us. We have a year ahead of us. And the Bible says that we need to be effectual. How can we be effectual? We need to stick and recognize what the devil's trying to do to us. He's our enemy. He's not on our side. In 2021, I challenge you, do more for the Lord than you've ever done before. You may not have another year to do it. If you've got family members that are outside the house of God, not saved, you may never have another opportunity to win them. I believe the Scripture teaches us that any second that eastern sky will open and that trumpet will sound. And the church, along with the Holy Spirit of God, is going to be out of here. And they're left to the wiles of the devil. Let's serve God in 2021 like we've never served Him before. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures that tells us what to watch for. You tell us that we're not ignorant of His devices. We don't know everything that He does, but we do know some of the main things. Help us, Lord, to try everything that we come across by the Scriptures as to what the Scriptures say. Lord, don't let our feelings lead us and guide us, because our feelings will lie to us. Our feelings will teach us something that we don't need to know. They'll teach us the ways of the devil. Lord, Scripture is what we need to stand by. Help us, Lord, to promote in 2021 a church that promotes missionaries, that promotes salvation by grace through faith with nothing added. And Lord, help us to get that message around the country around us and the world around us. And we pray, Lord, that You'll give us the grace to do that and empower us in 2021 like we've never been empowered before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lewis, we'll sing a song.